It's another edition of the Fallscast brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Sunday, June 27th, it is weather conditions. We have this bracketed. We have a bracketed
it's hot.
Weather condition. It's hot.
It's hot.
I ain't seen this kind of hot before. It's hot. Biloxi Blues. Anyone?
Is it hot out?
Yes.
Is it really hot out there?
So good.
Okay. So good. Jen says it's so good. Okay. Well,
she's wrong.
Keep your ass outside.
Not the hot.
Oh.
We are here with some of our favorite Fallscasters, including the dynamic Kathy McMenemy is with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Woohoo! Yay!
Big woo woo woo!
Hello. Good morning.
The kitty cat's here too.
Cat meowing.
Yeah, she's.
We have the incomparable, amazing, and fantastic Mr. Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
We have the lovely pair of mules, Jennifer and Steven.
Hello.
Howdy doodly do.
No, I missed that.
That was like the most like.
That's my TMS.
Angry. Hello, okay? God. Moving on.
I'm not going to smile.
That was. Howdy doodly screw you.
Kinda.
Oh, this one's
good.
For now.
We also have the lovely talented Suzanne Searle with us in her hair today.
Hello. Yes, it's glorious today, is it not?
Yeah. And speaking of hair, a guy who has none, my best friend, Mr. Mike Searle.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. And I
face is gone too. Alex. Look at that.
Yes.
He shaved everything.
The fat baby face is here.
His double chin.
Bald chin. Yeah.
He does not have a double chin.
Did you used to have a
goatee? He had a beard.
Yeah, I got the butt chin.
He's got the cleft chin.
Second cousin to a bald chin.
Bald
chin. Yeah. Nice. Manly.
Yes. Mm.
I don't think we're missing anybody. We haven't seen Patrick for a while.
He's still.
We're going to have to get him back.
He's working.
He's sleeping. He's in there sleeping. Go kick him. Patrick, we miss you.
Well,
he's probably working too. Yeah.
Somebody's got a cat who's like dying.
Which Kathy's?
Probably
well, she's being very vocal.
The cat has opinions and needs to be heard. Don't shut her down, man. Don't shut her down.
Pay attention to me now. Don't pay attention to that stupid little phone in front of you.
All right. On today's Fallscast, we will have an interview with me about the Cuyahoga Falls 3-on-3 tournament, which is back after a one-year hiatus due to, well, you know why.
Yeah.
Yay! Suzanne is going to ask me questions about that. And we've got lots of good interviews on deck. Bart is going to talk to the nice people at Shelf Life, which is a new bookstore in the Falls. And what else? Bart, we had some other stuff, didn't we?
We've got a list of people that we're working on getting a hold of right now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we're going to talk to Jerry from the Historical Society, along with Mary Nichols Rhodes, both of whom were involved in the Hansparker gravestone memorial ceremony that was put together just last weekend, and we streamed that ceremony on the Falls Free Press Facebook page, so if you want to see what was going on with that. Basically, a former slave who lived in Cuyahoga Falls was buried in Oakwood Cemetery and did not have a grave marker, and folks at the Historical Society and others were able to find out all about that and put a gravestone there for that man, and maybe his wife, too, because I think she's buried there as well.
They're trying to raise money in order to do this. They haven't raised enough. They're still.
I think they got their $6,100.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sonny put it on Pantsuit Nation or one of those big, huge groups, national Facebook groups, and people started donating. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Between what they collected, passed around at the actual ceremony, it was like $400 or $500. Yeah, I think they're going to be able to buy the markers.
Okay, because I think it's over $6,000 to do it, and so they had to raise the money in order to do that.
Well, that's great. So, yeah, we'll have an interview with them coming up soon. I can't tell you who we are going to potentially interview for our 50th episode, nor what kind of an awesome event we very well may be planning for that interview. But suffice it to say that our 50th episode is coming quick, and we're going to try and do something really special. And even some people on the call right now are looking at me like, wait, what? But Mike
I know
knows,
what it is.
I saw Mike yesterday.
Oh, I know.
Mike
I
told
know.
Me.
Mike knows all about it. Okay, cool.
I got the scoop.
It's going to be great. We're really excited about it, and we hope that everybody is going to be able to join us for that one. It's going to be good.
Yep.
Also, Suzanne thought we should do I'm calling it a hiatus report. So, obviously, we haven't been on the air for a little while. On the air. This is, I mean, whatever. pre-recorded.
We haven't put out content.
Yeah.
That's yes. right. Thank
Hasn't
you,
been recorded.
And it's because Bart, you know, he had to go to Transylvania and take out a bunch of vampires. Mike was national security mission
Shh.
That
don't talk about
can't
it.
Talk about.
Don't talk about it. Don't ask. We don't talk about. What's the first rule?
We don't talk about Fight Club.
Suzanne just needed a break, I think, is what was going on. Because once Mike was gone, taking out dictators in other countries. I mean,
we're not supposed to talk about
oh.
it.
Then Suzanne was just like, well, Mike's not here. I'm just going to chill.
I got so depressed. Like, yeah, I had to just shut everything down. Mike was gone. No, I didn't know what to do with myself.
She was walking around the house naked, just laying wherever she wanted to.
That's like a Tuesday for us.
Full on man spread.
Yeah. And that's what Woo! You guys have been doing this whole time, right, Steven? That's what you were busy doing. I'm naked right now. Have I laid on this lately?
Yes, well, unfortunately, we can see that, and it's not very pleasant.
This is Alex's OnlyFans setup.
Yeah, he hit the wrong screen, and yeah.
He's like,
oh, shit, since I'm here, I might as well just do it.
Boy.
It's a twofer.
So anyway, yeah, we were off for a little while. We had a couple people actually reach out to us and be like, yo, where's the podcast? We appreciate that people are listening. We're really, this is what we do. This is our fun thing that we do, most of us.
Yep.
So this is, we look forward to this, and we're all basically friends, except me and Mike. We hate each other.
I hate you, Alex.
So I mean, this is something we look forward to doing. So we're glad to be back, and it sucked to be away so long. We're so glad that you are listening and that you're staying up with us and that you're actually reaching out to us when we don't do stuff. So thank you for that. Any more jabs, Mike, before we move on?
No, that I hate you. That's all. The usual, you know.
Hate is the cool. twin of love. So just so you know there.
I think
oh, there's
everybody
so much.
Who listens to the show knows how Mike really feels. So just, you know. In addition to having upcoming interviews, we also have some articles coming up. Bart was lucky enough, I am pretty sure, to have gone to Shelf Life yesterday to check it out. Bart, did that happen?
Yes.
Yes.
Very cool place.
Is that all you have to say about it, or are you just going to...
The man of many words.
Yeah. Well,
I heard they have some books in there.
They do. It's like, I believe there's multiple shelves of them.
Oh.
Like, so it's like, maybe it's even like a bookstore?
What? Yes.
Whoa. Oh.
I wanted to go in there before I had a chance to interview her. And so I went, you know, checked it out. It's in the same building as Magna Wine. Like, if you go in... go down the hall, and then there's like a door to the left that goes down into the basement.
Oh. So it's a book dungeon.
Yes, but it's very
it's
cool.
It's a very cool vibe.
But it's books.
Really cool down there.
It, yeah, so it doesn't is. Matter.
Cool.
But yeah, there's everything's a dollar except for some local authors and specialty books.
Wow.
So, I mean, that definitely... This weekend they had a romance paperback sale. Everything, all of them were 50 cents each.
Yes, I was all about it. I mean, what?
Yep. Yeah.
So I got
and
a couple
can
of Ray Bradbury
donate
books.
Donate 4 books to get a book. Like, so if you have a bunch of books and you want to get rid of them, you can just go and give them 4 and then you can get a new book.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I did not hear about that.
That's what
badass.
We did. Mike found a book he liked, and I have books that are just like in bins. And I'm just like, here you go. Here's 4 books. And he was able to get a book. It was a great deal.
So Mike got some romance novels.
He did.
As he thrust his manly purple-headed warrior into her luscious love pudding.
What?
Wow. Oh, man. Back
Make a gun reference.
There'll be a lot of cutting on this one, I think.
Sorry, I think
no, that's staying in.
Yes, excellent.
I think Jennifer, if you traded in all your Remus novels to her, you'd probably be able to buy the whole bookstore out.
So Bart's going to do an interview with the Shelf Life. I thought it was for an article, but I neglected to remember that that's going to be for a podcast interview. So she'll be on the show soon, which is cool. I understand her email address was like a Vonnegut reference, which
talk Vonnegut to me.
Yeah,
that's great.
Vonnegut is possibly my favorite author, so mad respect to her.
There's a giant poster of Kurt Vonnegut hanging in the bookstore.
Yeah, so if I go in there, I'll get stuck because we'll just be talking Vonnegut for an hour, which is fine. I love that. I have a Vonnegut t-shirt. That's how nerdy I am about Vonnegut.
Nerd.
You should wear that when you go.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Susan. Maybe you will.
Should do it. Do it.
Do it. So exciting.
Do it. Do it.
Mike and I actually were able to get together yesterday and do a tasting at Hop Tree in Hudson. So we got a couple of flights of beer, one of which was very nearly spilled on us.
It was spilled.
It was spilled, but it only got a couple drops on me. And Mike managed to to scoot out of the way in time.
A ninja reflex.
It's jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Yeah, it was the jiu-jitsu. It was pretty funny. We didn't really feel bad for her because she didn't really act like she felt bad.
it had happened plenty of times, it looked like.
Yeah, they'd just gotten new flight holders, and she just kind of shook her head like these new flight holders are terrible. But they cleaned it up. We stayed where we were, and we tried a bunch of different beers at Hop Tree, which is on Hudson Drive as you go toward Hudson. You know, where Steel's Corner does that weird thing where it if it goes straight, it's actually Hudson Drive or whatever. You just keep going north, and it's kind of in an office park, which is sort of weird. You have to drive back.
Which is weird, but it's a cool place.
It's a very cool place. They have a really good music selection. Mike and I kept being this. I don't remember the music at any of the other places, but this place is playing like solid classic rock. We're talking like Led Zeppelin. They were playing Traveling Wilburys, Tom Petty. It was a really good musical selection from the folks at Hop Tree. And so, you will write up a article to review their stuff.
Yeah, Jennifer and I have been to Hop Tree a couple times, and I do remember their music selection being cool.
And I was confusing Hop Tree for Tiki Underground, so my bad.
They're not even remotely the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's the first time I tried a sour that I really liked. I mean, I didn't really like it, but I could drink it. Yeah, it wasn't bad. They also had a seltzer
the sparkling seltzer.
Yeah, it was called I Don't Sweat, I Sparkle, and it had like sugar glitter in the brew. So when you would take a drink of it, you could see all these little teeny tiny sparkles in the solution. I would call it beer, but it's not beer; it's seltzer. So it was good. I think Mike and I were both kind of like, they were out of one of the beers and we couldn't try it, so we're like, well, I guess we will try the seltzer. We both liked it, okay. So
it was drinkable. I'm just not a seltzer fan.
Right.
Yeah, but if it has sparkles, he had to love it because he loves sparkles.
Yeah, he ordered two pints sparkle. Just to see if his poop would sparkle after.
We'll talk about it on the next podcast.
I knew I was a fairy.
It's my glitter, goddammit.
Poop and glitter.
So, yeah, we'll have some articles coming out pretty soon. Bart, you got anything else on deck you want to talk about?
I'm working on getting an article about the downtown events that are happening this summer.
Oh, nice.
I would have started sending questions out to people last night, but then I turned on In the Heights, and none of that happened.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Watch it still.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Also, we continue to encourage our readers / listeners to shop local, so please keep your money in the falls, y'alls. How's that? Is that better?
Yins.
No, Yins is not Ohio.
Y'all's not either.
Y'all, it can be Ohio.
It's you guys.
It's
you guys. Y'all guys. Yins.
You guys. You.
Yins. Yins.
No, yous is
y'all. Y'all is good.
Y'all's southern.
Southern Ohio. People in
Southern Ohio. Live in Southern Ohio.
Yeah, but I'm from there.
The two shuffled. Utes.
Go dig a grave.
So, so as far as trying to patronize businesses in the fall this week, let's hear first from, how about from Searles? Because I want to hear about Clean Eats, and I know you guys have been going there.
We've been going every week. It's our little date. I get my lunches for the week, and we have some food. Sit down without the kids, just him and I, and it's nice. It's a great place.
And so the deal there is that, like, you can go in and, like, order, like, food for the whole week, and they're, like, prepared meals that you just microwave or something?
Frozen meals, yeah.
If you order it through their, Kathy has done it, if you order it through their webpage to pick it up, I think, is it fresh yeah. then, and you can freeze it? Or they have large freezers that I actually just walk in there and just pick what I want, so I don't have to, order it. You have to order it by Thursday and pick it up on Sunday or Tuesday or something. So I just go in there and pick it up.
Yeah. Actually, you can order it, I think, up until Saturday, but the menu comes out on Thursday.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah.
But yeah, they're very tasty.
They're very tasty. They're really good. I mean, they have their fat and their carbs and their protein listed, how much calories it is. You can do low carbs. You can do vegetarian. Options. If it's like low carbs, you get more vegetables. If it's vegetarian, obviously they use a meat substitute. Is that great? Check it out. It's very awesome. I think it's like 5 meals for $38, if I remember right. So
it's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
No,
and
it's not
keeps
bad.
Keeps me accountable.
Controlled and
yep.
Did the farmer's rail too. Stop there.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, there's an article coming up for that too, right?
I see. Yes, you're working on it. I see Bart.
I need to go take some pictures. I need to go take some pictures for that for you.
It's a cool spot. I mean, I really like what they've done with it compared to the one out in Bath. I mean, it's huge. But
we had some scallops.
Quality meats.
And you had a steak and I had a little bit of the steak and their scallops were very good. They were very fresh. We had fresh pasta from them, so we were able to kind of mix it up. It was very, very good.
Yeah, the pasta was from Ohio City Pasta. It was 45 seconds in boiling water and done.
Ooh,
yeah,
wow.
It was
fresh.
Delicious. Yeah, it was super fresh.
Well, they just
I don't know where
like
they sourced the scallops from, but,
nowhere, but...
Yeah, that's when I stopped down. What was it that Wednesday? Soft open and very good. Very, very good.
The scallops were good.
And open because once it was online that they were open, like it was like every other post on Talk of the Town was Farmer's Rail is open, guys.
They definitely, I mean, that store was big to begin with, but they've used every inch of that store.
Mm-hmm.
I got some lunch meat from them yesterday, and it was really good.
What'd you have?
So far, I mean, I could get there, so.
Yeah, but they have seafood and whatnot there. Do they have actually like subs and stuff in the back there, or because they were like, do they
you
have
know
like
what? I'm still trying to figure that out.
Get,
yeah, because they've got that whole eating area, but the
yeah,
only
they got the, on the left.
Yeah, the only prepared foods I could see were there in the cooler at the register.
That's what I was kind of trying to figure out. Like, I didn't know if they were doing subs or you know quick sandwiches or if it was just a deli counter. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I know there are. We asked about bread when we were there, and they were supposed to start getting fresh baked buns next week.
Oh, really?
So I'm assuming maybe things are rolling out slowly.
I wonder if they're partnering with Needed to get buns and stuff.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Good idea. Well, it's cool that that's open. Or what about you, man? You it looks like you went some places.
Yeah. Yesterday, I wanted to go to the bookstore, and I called a friend, and we met up downtown, went to Flurry's for lunch, and
oh,
I haven't been there in ages.
Did you sit outside?
No, it was way too hot to sit outside.
It was pretty hot.
But it worked out because we went in, there was no space, I left my name. We went down to the bookstore, and just as we were getting ready to check out, they called.
Nice.
So it was, you know, got books, went over, got food. Then we ran all over to Metropolis Popcorn. And I had some excellent Death by Chocolate.
That's good stuff.
Yes, it is.
And they just sort of wandered around and then went to Farmers Rail.
Our downtown, man, is just absolutely awesome. I mean, to be able to kind of walk, I mean, that's all walkable. It's right there. It's just, I just love it.
For sure. So on Friday night, I was able to go to the Jenks building and I played a little bit of music with the Moderns over there.
You do?
You're in a band?
Yeah.
You're in a band?
Well, sort of no, but I did go play with them. Because the drummer's wife is a nanny, so she was able to hang out with my kiddos. And
that's cool.
And, you know, I was like, right there in the room with them the whole time, and they kept kind of coming up and slapping me high fives. Judge kept coming up and saying, great job, Dad. And
that's cute.
Super cute.
How was the feel there? Cool. I mean, because when Mike and I checked it out, it felt really cool up there. How did it sound?
They're doing music in like the garage area. Sign, the permanent record sign is. They've got little blenders all over the place that have been like retrofitted as light fixtures. It's just very cool. I mean, that place is like.
It's a cool place.
Yeah, it's just like there's art everywhere, and it's always changing too. I've been in there 3 or 4 times now, for various things, and every time I go, there's like new art and new like little things. It's just chock full of. Eye candy everywhere. It's really great, and the where they're having the music is great. I mean, we had a full band, drum set, bass guitar. It wasn't too loud. It was great. You know, people were kind of hanging out. People will sort of walk through while they're shopping, stop and watch the band for a song or something, move on, and then you have a handful of people who will sit there and like hang out and check it out too. So, we like Jenks, that was fun. Also, the girl who was hanging out with Lainey and Josh while I was playing. Took them over to Butcher and Sprout, so I got to sample their mac and cheese and their French fries, which I know isn't exactly like evident of their offerings per se, but it was really good. As soon as I got off stage, the girls were like, "Try these French fries," and they were very good French fries. So you know, if I'm judging Butcher and Sprout on their French fries and mac and cheese, I will say it's good.
Delicious.
It is tasty.
Yeah, and then.
They have a limited menu.
They do have is good, though. We've been there quite a 4 or 5 times, something like that. Yeah.
Not Mike good. And I still need to go. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go, babe.
I had promised the girls that after the show we would go to the works if they were good, right? Oh. Dad move, right? Be good, and then we'd go to the
nice. Works. Nice, yeah.
Bribery.
And?
way to bribe.
Were they good?
A few weeks back, Josh got to go by herself to the work while Lainey was doing something else, and so Lainey had been begging us to take her there. So I was like, "All right, cool, yeah, we'll take you. We'll go over to the work." So we did. We bought a $25 game card, and the girls just like played games to their tiny little hearts' content, and it was great. We had a good time. We played a bunch of games, and they got some, you know, little like dinky little prizes from the prize area. But they're super happy. They got some fun stuff, and they've been playing with it for like the last 2 days now. So, Lainey's going to Flights, the gymnastics school over there next to Mark's on State Road. She's been doing that now for probably about 3 months. She's been through one like performance show, which was fun, we signed up for the same night. Through the summer, but it starts a little later and it butts right up against dinner time, so I decided that would be smoothie night. And so 2 weeks in a row now we have gone to Tropical Smoothie Cafe right there at Portage Crossings. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of drink our dinner as we go home. Mm-hmm. For the night.
Sugar.
Well, so they do add like turbinado to most of their smoothies, which I'm not real crazy about that idea, because it's like added sugar, right? But you can ask them to put in Splenda or to just leave it out entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, they're still good smoothies. And most of them are like, you know, fruits and veggies. And then they have all the like crazy like additives and stuff that people might want. I'm not like a smoothie nerd or anything, so I don't really have any of the crazy like protein powders or whatever that kind of stuff is. But But what we do get is very good. The girls, I think, got something that had spinach and kale, but then it had like mango and pineapple and stuff.
Oh,
and
so it just hides it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little hidden vegetable. That's what I do with my smoothies. Exactly. I just, I hide that stuff.
I get the greens in there. Yep. And then I got one that was like mango and strawberry and some other stuff. Very good. Very good. Not too expensive. And quick service, because we're at flights and I know we're going to be like going on the way home, I'll always place the order online while we're still at gymnastics school and then like get everybody in the car, drive over. And by the time we get there, they're done. We pick them up and we go. So, so big fan of Tropical Smoothie Cafe. And that's us this week. How about Mulet's?
Mark and Philly's. We picked that up and had that. Did we do anything else? I don't think we did anything else, which is a slow week for us.
It was a slow week.
We were busy with other personal stuff and then, you know, and
yeah,
fixing up the house and taking stuff apart and refinishing my kitchen table and, you know.
Yeah, but we got Mark and Philly, so that was our
I
one.
Need you to talk really slowly about Mark and Philly since I'm not eating that stuff right now.
Oh, no.
Just tell me about it.
Easy and heavy. You're not missing anything. All the
migraine city for me. But
on it. And this stringy delicious cheese.
Yeah, yes. Tell me more.
And then, you know, we were able to have it for lunch the next day.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I took nice big fat pieces for lunch, too.
And
I lined up in the toaster oven. I didn't microwave it, so it was better.
And crispy.
Oh, yeah. Keep going. I love Mark's
are good, right? Your headaches?
Yeah, I have not had any migraines, so I'm doing okay.
Mark and Philly's is going on vacation, right?
Oh, yeah. They're going on vacation and closing down for the week of July 4th.
Only the third vacation they've taken in, 25 years?
Yeah, and they're not going anywhere. Staying at home, they said, we are not cooking.
And we're having takeout. We're going to have takeout every day.
Yeah. Good for them.
30 years of not having a vacation.
That's crazy.
God.
Well, when you have a small business, you're a slave to it.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah.
Kathy, did you go anywhere this week?
No, I don't think I did. I need to get out. I need to get down Front Street.
She did do the Irish Festival. I know we talked about that, but she did go.
Yeah, well, that was a couple weeks ago.
But we've been gone.
We should have a podcast date.
Now that was I enjoyed the Irish Fest, of course, but
And in my article about the Irish Festival, it was not well received by the organizers of the Irish Festival, and I totally understand that. My intent was to be snarky. It was a fun time on Front Street, like any, you know, festival downtown.
And I did not
reach out to the organizers because it was more of a review than of a feature, or something like that. But it was good. And there was one booth that did have Irish food, and admittedly, as a vegetarian, like, I'm just not like real into the corned beef, but to me, it was funny that, like, you know, the majority of the offerings were like really not Irish. And I know that they had trouble getting people to come out and stuff, but the music was really good, and the music's always good at the Irish Festival. They get the good Irish bands and stuff. I wish they had more of a selection of Irish bands to choose from, so that instead of having the same bands every day sort of repeating their sets, they could do more of a variety. But I think they did it like that even pre-pandemic, because people just expect whichever day they come down to be able to hear, you know, Bridget's Cross and whoever else.
There have been Irish bands in the past, though.
Yeah,
there was they had the Glengarry Boys and the Prodigals like 1 year, and it was completely Irish, and I think that was like 1 year, and that was it.
Yeah.
Just happy that we're be able to start having these again. I mean, that's major.
Yeah, I mean the Italian Fest of Italiano, they canceled. I mean, you know, so the Irish, they kind of threw it together at the last minute, so props to them to even making it work. And it was well attended.
Absolutely.
It was crowded the night we went. It was, you know, everyone seemed to be having a good time. And I didn't really miss the Irish food, to be honest with you, because I really don't like it. So, I mean, I like corned beef, but, I mean, there was only so much corned beef and potatoes you could eat.
Irish hater.
I'm not an Irish hater. I just, I prefer other foods. I'm Italian. What do you want?
Well, they have plenty of Italian food at the Irish.
They did. They did.
That was kind of the joke. You can get a pizza or a stromboli. Two different places.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah. And
I'm sure they have pizza places.
I'm okay with that too, because that's more of the fair type of food. But
yeah.
I go for the music and the beer.
Right. And beer.
Yeah. Beer.
Beer.
Beer. Oh,
that was a perfect transition right there, Bart. Just saying.
Kathy and I were at the Juneteenth thing over at the. We both I photographed it, which photographs are going to come. They're going to be released at the same time as the interview that we're doing, planning on doing. And Kathy was there as well, and we both enjoyed it. We wish everyone else would have been there with us.
I had to work.
That's my excuse.
I know. I talked to your dad. He said that you were working, and he took your place and videoed it for the Falls Free Press.
Yeah, and that streaming video is still on our Facebook page, so people can check it out. So, listen, we need contributions. Without them, it's like we're waking up in a hospital after a coma, only to find the hospital seemingly abandoned, ransacked, and words on chained doors: "Don't open." Article submissions inside. Still in our hospital gown, we walk past the doors, venturing out into the now post-apocalyptic wasteland of our website, wishing we had but a few article submissions and interview ideas. Help us discover the hordes of zombies, I mean article ideas, interview submissions, by sending yours via a former pizza delivery person to...
Who writes this stuff, man?
Bart did that to me.
Right.
To falsefreepress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page at facebook.com/falsefreepress. Whatever you do, don't go on Facebook and spoil whatever major character we're killing off this season.
It's
Mike. Aww. Son of a bitch.
If anything, like Mike would be the one to survive.
True. He would push me down very quickly to survive.
Push us all. I love you. Push us all down to run.
Oh, Alex first, yeah. Alex first. Would definitely be on the list.
I don't have to be the fastest runner. I just have to be faster than you.
My own
also, also, please keep sending your feedback to tell us what you think of the show by sending your comments via falsefreepress@gmail.com, facebook.com/falsefreepress, and by reviewing us on whatever podcaster you use to listen, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. If you don't, Kathy won't have any more cookouts, and Steven will be grumpy from lack of grilled sweet potatoes. You would not like Steven when he's grumpy.
Those grilled sweet potatoes were delicious.
Oh, my God. I've had them so many times since then.
I want to rub them all over my body.
No, oh, gosh. There's a mental no.
That no. is.
Ooh. And finally, please get vaccinated. People ages 12 and up can get vaccinated. And it's one of the major reasons we can go enjoy live music and hang out in person now. But we must get vaccinated in order to be safe. So get vaccinated. Have this thing over with once and for all. It's past time. So in some ways, it doesn't even feel like it's a thing anymore. Because, like, I bought tickets to see concerts and like, making plans to do things.
It's crazy.
But my kids aren't vaccinated. I'm one of those who has kids under 12, and I would sure as hell like it if they could be vaccinated, and if people who weren't vaccinated would get vaccinated or at least wear masks to keep my kids safe and all kids safe who are under 12 and those who cannot be vaccinated for health reasons or whatever. So get your damn vaccine already.
Just
take
get
the
it.
Jab. Do take it. The jab.
Get stuck.
Soak it.
So, yes, it's still summer, but the upcoming school year is already looking better, speaking of vaccines. All staff and students over 12 who have gotten the vaccine no longer have to wear a mask inside.
Very cool.
So, yay. That's another perk of getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, still no vaccine for students under 12. So, they'll still be required to wear a mask, but hopefully, you know, sooner than later, there'll be an availability of vaccines for them. So, next school year is looking up.
That is awesome.
A lot better than last year.
For sure. For sure. I know my daughter's college, she is I guess they're going to be requiring all students to be vaccinated, and they are planning on going back, moving back into the dorms, going to school or classes in person. So life is getting back to normal. Get vaccinated, people.
A new youth basketball training center is coming to Bailey Road, which will be available for basketball leagues, camps, and individuals, as well as possible space and volunteers to help with adult leagues. The center will be run by David Lane, a former Division II college basketball player and assistant coach at Bookdale High School. The Lane by David Lane will be built on the land next to Harbor Castings, which is owned by his father, Chuck. So that's cool.
That is really cool. Yeah.
You know, Cuyahoga Falls has a lot of basketball history, and I think Susanna might and I might talk about this a little bit in our interview today, but one of the things that really sticks out in my mind is that the Gary DeReamer, who's a, you know, Falls boy, like lifelong Falls guy, right? He apparently, when he was growing up, Gary, if you don't know, he's running for Ward 6 City Council. He used to sit on Ward 6 City Council when the mayor became the mayor. They left an empty council seat in Ward 6, and so they appointed Gary to that seat. So he was on the council briefly. He ran for at-large later, has ran for Ward 6 since then, and is running for Ward 6 now. When he was a kid, he lived in a house, and his backyard butted up against Lions Park. At the time, the Cleveland Cavaliers still played at Richfield Coliseum, and Gary would see sometimes players from the Cavs come to Lions Park to do like shoot around on the basketball courts right there in Lions Park.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then LeBron James too, he played his first varsity game at Cuyahoga Falls High School. So we have a lot of like rich, and Bobby Knight was the coach of the Cuyahoga Falls High School basketball team at one point. Mm-hmm. So for a basketball fan, Cuyahoga Falls is actually a pretty cool place to be. Mike Manier, who's a really well-known basketball coach in the city here, runs a basketball camp at the Natatorium every year. Mike actually knows LeBron and I think maybe coached him or something at one point. So there's just a lot of cool basketball stuff about Cuyahoga Falls. So to have a new training facility, I think, will be great. And I know there's a lot of people who will take advantage of that. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
All right, Suzanne, tell us of the news that is good.
So on June 13th at the Market District on Portage, a mama duck alerted a few shoppers. Some of her babies fell into a storm sewer. The shoppers quickly called dispatch, and our great heroic Cuyahoga Falls Fire Department quickly rescued them and reunited the baby ducks with their mama.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's just adorable.
Aww. It is adorable.
It's nothing to quack at. Bill of bad jokes.
Well, apparently it was something to quack at, or else it would never have happened.
True. Just very ducky.
I'm just imagining the duck like going to find the shoppers and being like, wah, wah. They're like, what?
Like,
the
what the hell is up with you, duck?
All right, cool.
What is it, Lassie? What's wrong?
Timmy fell down the well.
Timmy fell down the well again?
Well, yeah, it's funny because our fire department like does cool stuff like that. You guys might remember a couple years ago, maybe it was, I think it was 2 years ago, there was, you know what, I know when it was. It was right when Mobile Rec was unveiled. So I think about two summers ago, or two springs ago, maybe, the Cuyahoga Falls Fire Department had been dispatched, the paramedics had been dispatched to somebody who I think was having a heart attack or something, and they showed up, and the guy had been in the middle of cutting his lawn when he like went into cardiac arrest or whatever it was. So they took him to the hospital. One of the firefighters stayed behind and finished cutting his lawn for him.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty awesome.
That is.
Totally awesome. Yeah, there was pictures of it on social media and stuff. And I saw the mayor that day because I went to the unveiling of Mobile Rec, and he was just, he couldn't say enough great things about, you know, how this goes to show, you know, how great Cuyahoga Falls is and stuff. And you know what? Yep. He's not wrong about that. So.
Nope, he is not wrong.
I have a similar story. I came home from an errand, and there was an ambulance at the end of the street in front of one of my friend's houses. And I walk over, and her next door neighbor was trimming a tree for her, who was pushing onto her fence.
It was his tree.
It was his tree, and it was like basically messing up her fence. So he was going to cut it down for her. So he climbed up the tree, fell 10 feet onto his back.
Oh, by accident, because
his chainsaw got stuck, and he went to yank it out, and it had shut off. So it wasn't on when he yanked it, but he yanked it out. And he fell backwards off the ladder, flat onto his back. So, and of course, you know, an ambulance came, and I walk up, and then there's somebody cutting the tree, and you know, and obviously it wasn't the guy. And I was like, "What happened?" And then she told me the story, and it turns out one of our neighbors is a paramedic, and he had just gotten off, like 20 minutes earlier off a shift, came home, and then the ambulance was sitting in front. So he said, "Well, I'm just going to go over and finish cutting his tree." See, whenever
he cut the guy's tree for him,
you know, just because the guy can't do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the guy wound up breaking a shoulder, and he had to have surgery. Yeah.
Oh, yikes!
But at least, I mean, it could have been worse. He could have totally messed up his back. So
absolutely,
or his neck, or
yes, yeah. Exactly.
So he'll
recover.
Well, that's three pieces of good news. Even if a couple of them are older. So, good job making things positive, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, kick that beat.
Bart's arts. It's been
just
too long.
So our listeners know, we did not record that and reuse it every time. It's live every episode.
We do it
it's
live.
Just a little different every episode, you know.
We'll do it live, episode. Damn it.
With summer beginning, the Irish Fest has already happened, and now more arts programming is happening downtown from the Downtown Golgoth Halls Partnership in Clyde. July 1st, Ballet in the City will be performing by the fountain on Front Street, across from Ohio Brewing and Leo's Italian Social.
Oh.
So that's this coming week.
It. Oh my gosh, is it really? Ugh, yeah. It is. That's hard to believe.
What day are they performing? Do you have a time? Is there
July 1st at 7.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's this Thursday.
Okay.
Wow.
About 2 weeks later, July 17th, and I did not write down the time for this one, musician Eric Jensen will be performing in that grassy stage area next to the farmer's rail.
Oh, yeah.
He will be performing that evening. And then July 29th, by the pavilion, there will be live painting by local artist Denny Stoiber. And that's just July. They've got a bunch of stuff happening in August also.
That is so great.
It's awesome. I love anytime you do live music, especially live original music, it's fantastic. And then having the ballet too is great.
Live dance. Live art.
That's right. Live arts.
And it's outside, so that brings more people in. They're not stopped by the fact that they didn't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to go to a business to go and check it out.
Yep.
I want to shout out just really quickly the city of Stowe. They actually have started an arts commission, and one of the folks on the commission is a friend of mine, Carrie Sue Dolnick. She's actually running for city council in Stowe too. They have, you might have noticed if you've been driving in Stowe at all, they have gone on this little adventure of painting all their traffic boxes. And they look awesome. I was driving in Stowe. I went outside the falls for some dinner this week. I know.
Shame on you.
I went to Altieri's and I went to Bangkok Thai, which both places I love. Bangkok Thai in Stowe is like the best Thai food around, really. And it's a pretty new place. But anyway, there's good Thai in the falls too. And I just actually had it at papaya salad over there. At State Road and Bath. Good stuff. But anyway, drive through Stowe and just look around near the traffic lights for the boxes that have the electricity and stuff for the traffic lights. They have painted them like along 91 and along 59, and they look so freaking cool. And I just want to shout them out because, you know, we are the Falls cast. We talk about Cuyahoga Falls. I usually make crack jokes whenever we talk about something that's outside the Falls. But that's just something really cool. Like what?
Like Drew Riley.
Yeah, we like to make fun of Billy. Drew because he... Yeah. Proceed, Bart.
Also, a business who isn't in the Falls but teaches dance classes in the Cuyahoga Falls Elementary Schools is offering summer outdoor pop-up dance classes. They've already started, but they're going through August 14th. And basically, they'll be popping up in different parks around Akron, including one of them at the Akron Zoo.
Oh my!
So
that's kind of cool.
Good for kids and parents or homeschool groups, you know, to go check out and just get up and get moving.
Awesome.
And I'll post the link to this in our show notes.
Oh, let me see. That is so cool. So artsparksdance.org. So everybody should go check that out. Artsparksdance.org. That's hard to say.
It's either artsparks or artsparks.
Oh, Art Sparks. You're right, yeah, because Art it's Art Sparks. Sparks. Yeah, okay. Art All right.
Dance.
ArtSparksDance.org.
Arts, Arts, Sparks.
Tongue twister.
It's part of their program called Where in Summit County is Art Sparks.
Where in the world?
In Summit County, it's a little easier to find versus, you know, the world.
Sure.
True. Very true.
Carmen San Diego.
I like Carmen San Diego, that's right.
Finally, the June Artist of the Month at Cuyahoga Valley Art Center is Akron artist Sarah Treanor. I'm sure I'm saying that's wrong. She works with photography and encaustic art and focuses on what she says is our connection to nature, spirituality, and the personal growth that occurs through the creative process.
So, what's encaustic art?
You know what? I meant to look that up, and I'm going to do that now.
That's
something to do with, like, maybe like
it is known as hot wax painting.
Oh.
Really? Hmm. Interesting.
Cool. It says involves heated encaustic medium to which colored pigments have been added for creating artwork. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Well, you know, like, they have specialized tools that they use for doing batik, where you, like, have, like, a vat of,
that's
like,
what I thought it was, batiking.
Pick it up and kind of, but I can imagine how that would work. Cool. Well, we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week, and we want to thank me for speaking with us.
No.
Stick around for Suzanne's interview with me after this about the 3-on-3 tournament. Yeah, I know. It's like the third time I'm being in it. We're like.
It's for a good cause, though. It's for a good cause.
It's just Alex blabbering for who knows how long.
So if you're sleepy, or if you're or if you're having, you know,
trouble sleeping. Listen to Professor Alex.
Remember that we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, and you can shout them out to us at falsefreepress@gmail.com. And, of course, we are always in the market for article submissions, too, so please be sure to let us know about those. And then also make sure you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere if you enjoyed what you heard. For now, we will say goodbye, and we hope you'll join us next week. Also, remember to get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated.
Do it. Do it.
Peace out.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Later, alligator. Bye.
And we're back on the Falls Cast. I know you might be tired of hearing from our next guest, but trust me, this will be worth it. Alex, our great leader, was the brainchild behind the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Alex, thanks for talking to us.
Of course, Suzanne.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you came up with this idea and what is it?
Yeah, so I live really close to Lions Park, and it was my neighborhood park as my kids were like teeny tiny. So, and I was a stay-at-home dad, So I would go to Lions Park all the time with my kids, and pretty much any time I would go, there would always be guys out there playing basketball. Sometimes these huge games where you'd have like two full courts going, you know, maybe like 8-on-8, like just crazy, like big games. And they were not playing like they were just out there like goofing around. They were playing like they were serious. And I just thought, man, you know, we really need to like kind of put a spotlight, you know, metaphorically on this this sportsmanship that's going on out here, because it's really impressive. And also there's this like sidewalk in Lions Park that cuts the park kind of in half. And on one side you've got there's like the waiting pool and the playground and the grills and stuff. On the other side it's like the basketball court. And you could almost see a division of the park, not just in terms of like the availability of things in the park, but the kinds of people, you know, divided in half, you know. And I thought, man, it'd really be nice if we could bring all the people who are here at the playground and at the waiting pool and stuff over to watch this basketball game and give these guys an audience. So I had been down there a couple of different times and kind of thought about it. And I had become aware of the mayor's Neighborhood Excellence Initiative, which allows people to be neighborhood ambassadors. So I became a neighborhood ambassador, and one of the first things I did was I went to the mayor, actually at one of the downtown events, and I said, you know what would be really cool would be if we could do like a 3-on-3 tournament where we could bring food trucks and have an audience and bleachers and like the whole deal for people to come out and watch these guys play basketball. The mayor loved the idea. Because I think also just that, you know, it promotes athleticism. The mayor's really into fitness and stuff. And it also just brings people together, which is also something the mayor seems to want to do, which I really appreciate. So we talked about it a little bit. And that first year I worked with the assistant superintendent of Parks and Recreation, Megan Moreland. And we made it happen. We got, at the time, East of Chicago Pizza came out and sold pizza. We had Oh So Sweet. Judy and Oh So Sweet have been at every tournament, selling cookies and desserts and stuff. And we had, I can't remember exactly how many teams the first year. I want to say it was like maybe like 16 or 20 who signed up. Yeah, and then the next year we had like even more than that, like maybe 30 teams or something. And that, those numbers might not be 100% right, but I mean, you know, there were like well over 100, maybe even 200 people at the height of attendance at this event, just because of like the many people on the teams and the people out there just rooting on, you know, their friends or whatever. So
when did you start this? Has it been four years now? Or,
well, it would have been without COVID. So this will actually be the fourth one. I think that's right. Yeah. And so that means it was, I guess, 17.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's we've streamlined it a little bit. The first year, I remember we were scrambling to see everything we needed and how to figure out, like, you know, how to get. So we have two brackets. We have an adult bracket, which is 18 plus. We allow each team to have three players plus an alternate. So if somebody wants to come in and take over for one of their teammates, they can. And then we also have a bracket for anybody ages 14 to 17. It's co-ed. We haven't had a lot of women come play, but
come on, women, come play.
We would love for them to. And I mean, sometimes we've had people say that like there should be a requirement that you have a woman. We have not instituted a requirement, but we would certainly like to see more women come and participate. We've had some really great female athletes come and play in the years that we've had the tournament, and they don't come to play. I mean, they come to play.
Yep.
As does everybody. And we've had people come from as far as like Marietta and like, you know, Columbus. And I think it's because it's free. We don't charge like a fee for them to sign up.
Tell us a little bit about how you sign up, and you said it was free. So, I mean, how do you gather a team? You have to sign up on a website or.
Yeah. So it's cityofcf.com/3-on-3. By the way, this year's tournament's being held August 21st. We usually do a shoot around at like 11 o'clock, and then the tournament itself actually starts about noon. I'll be out there emceeing the thing. I play music and talk and announce who won. There's always really clever team names. Everybody comes up with their own team name. So you go to cityofcf.com/3on3 and you click a link to sign up your team. You enter everybody's name and your team name, and it comes to us, and then we put everything into basically into a spreadsheet so that we have everything ready to go. And then we create a bracket, and that bracket then sort of like governs how we make the tournament work. And you know, at the end we have a winner and a runner-up in both brackets, and they all get prizes of some kind. We raise money independently, mostly me making phone calls to ask people for money so that we can buy, well, we have referees. It was officiated, which is another really cool thing about it. You know, we want it to be official seeming. So we have referees who come out, so we pay them because they're working. So we raise some money to pay the referees, and then we raise money to get some prizes. Sometimes we get people to come and donate prizes. So not last year because it was COVID, but the year before, when we did it, we had the Cleveland Cavaliers actually sent out a prize pack for us. These like Cleveland Cavaliers themed reusable grocery bags with a T-shirt, a bracelet, like a little basketball shaped stress ball, and some other little goodies. And the Akron Aviators, which is like a sort of a minor league basketball association team, came out also and gave out, I think they gave out like season tickets like to the winners. So the winners could come down and see, like, yeah. Trying to get them to do jerseys this year because their logo is really cool, and it's like it's like some serious like local basketball cred to have an Aviators jersey. So I'm hoping he'll do jerseys this year. I'm hoping we'll
That'd
get
cool.
Cavs to donate again. We usually do gift cards to like Dick's Sporting Goods and places like that. And then each year we have the mayor do a tournament, kind of like Pig, except we call it CFO. And so we pick somebody from the crowd, and they have to come out and face the mayor in a game of CFO. And then the winner gets usually gets a gift certificate to the River City Grill. I haven't been in contact with them yet, but if I'm being honest, the mayor doesn't take it. We give it. Whoever gets to play the mayor gets the River City Grill.
I think it was the last time you did it was a kid who was pretty cool. If I remember right.
Yep, we've had I think two different years it's been kids. One year we had a woman who came out from the crowd and was like, she was ready to go, man. She was not going to lose that day. So yeah, it's fun. And honestly, that's what's so great about it is that it's in good fun. We don't, you know, have like a lot of issues. I mean, you know, sometimes these guys get out on the court and they're playing for real. They want that bragging rights. You know, they want to be able to show off, you know, on the court and stuff. And that's kind of why we have the referees there. We want to make sure that if anybody does get in anybody's face, it's, you know, we can take care of it. That's only happened once, and it was no big deal at all. Basically, the ref got in the middle and everybody just kind of like chilled out. But, you know, we really want to promote fitness and athleticism in the city. We want to shine a spotlight on Lions Park and that just the beautiful parks we have in the city in general. But there's also, as we talked about in today's roundtable discussion, just a lot of history of basketball in Cuyahoga Falls. As I mentioned, Bobby Knight was the coach at Cuyahoga Falls High School at one point. And there's LeBron James has some history in the Falls. He played his first varsity game at Cuyahoga Falls High School. And like we were talking about earlier, there were some players from the Cavs back when they played at Richfield Coliseum who would come down and shoot around at Lions Park. And I know that because Gary DeReamer, our friend, grew up in a house and his backyard butted up against Lions Park. And if he was back there and he saw those guys come up on the court, he'd jump the fence and go over there, like get an autograph and
play
the ball with the Cavs, yeah.
So it's a real nice basketball court too. I mean, it is a really nice one.
Yeah, and Parks brings out bleachers and stuff, and like I said, we have food trucks and everything. It's not just, you know, going and standing around and watching, but it's a big thing. We got music and a PA system and tents up there, and the brackets are posted so we can write who's winning each round so that everybody can kind of follow along. Usually we'll do a little program. We have a lot of like local city leaders who will come out and volunteer their time. We do need volunteers, so if anybody's interested in volunteering, definitely reach out to us. We have a Facebook page, just Cuyahoga Falls 3-on-3 basketball tournament. You can reach out to us through there if you have questions or if you're interested in volunteering. Basically, we have people who keep score, so we have like scorekeeper things. We have people who keep score. We have people who help with setup and tear down. And then just kind of like general help. We usually get somebody to bring out like water and Gatorade, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, we're about 2 months out from the tournament right now. And I can't wait. It's been, you know, we obviously didn't get to do it last year because of COVID, but we're back this year and looking forward to a great time. So
it is a great time. I know that it was the probably 3 years from now where you suckered Mike and I to come and volunteer for this. And I was like, what is this, you know? And it was absolutely one of the most fun times I had. And so we volunteered the year after, and I'm sure we'll volunteer for this year. And it's just a really good time. And I'm just impressed with the amount of people that show up, and, you know, everybody behaves, and it's just a good time. So
yeah, it's one of those things, you know. Our friend Janet Ciatola, she's the law director now. She used to be the assistant law director. She comes out, and there was one year she pulled me aside and she said, you know, this is really one of the great events in the city. And I was just really moved that she would say that, and she meant it. And the reason she said that was because she said, you know, there's a lot of there can be a lot of negativity in local politics and in city leadership and stuff. People are mad about, you know, the skunks or somebody leaving their garbage cans out or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
But you come to an event like this, and it really is just a feel-good thing. It's just something really fun to do. And, you know, if you're not a basketball, like, I got to say, like, I am not an athlete. I am not a basketball player. I'm not, you know, sports player. I'm a Browns fan. That's about as far as it goes. But it really, it's been something that, like she said, it makes you feel good to see people kind of come together in the name of something that we can all appreciate. And just like if you're not a hockey fan and you go to a hockey game, it's fun because it's like you're there. It's like that with this too. There's four games going on at a time. You focus on whichever one you want. By the end of it, there's maybe two games going on at opposite courts, and then it's down to that last game, and everybody's just kind of like, and by that time, the best teams have really like climb the ranks to get where they are.
Right.
So you end up with a really good game in the end.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I think we had the same teams win 2 years in both brackets because they're, you know, local guys who were really interested in getting involved in doing this tournament. And we have certain people who they'll reach out to me periodically just to be like, hey, when are you going to release info about the basketball tournament? So it's on their radar sure. And so we just released the info for this year's tournament really just a couple of days ago. So by the time people hear this podcast, they'll be able to go and sign up their team and or reach out if they want to volunteer and all of that stuff. So yeah,
it's a great event. Anybody can participate. Like you said, it's free. So you know, how many fun things can you do that doesn't cost you any money and you can win prizes? I definitely recommend anybody, if they don't even want to play, to come and watch. It is a great time, and it is a half court, you know, game. So there is four going on at the same time. So there's plenty of action to watch. The kids are fantastic that play as well as the adults. So I would definitely recommend anybody who is interested in this to show up and watch or join. Get to some of your friends and get a team going or volunteer.
For sure. Yeah. And the thing about the registration, like most 3-on-3 tournaments are a registration fee. Like they cost a registration fee. We really wanted
to be
accessible to anybody who wanted to play. So, you know, there's really, you don't really have to do anything except just tell us who you are and that you want to come. And that's just so that we can organize the brackets and have everything. We always have a couple teams who don't show up or something comes up and, you know, stuff happens, whatever. But we also are able to use the parking lot there at Lions. We reserve the lodge just so that we can use the lot. And man, I got to tell you, it fills up. So, so get there and you'll have a great time.
I think it's a good time. Like I said, you know, like you said, we volunteered a couple times. It's really well run. Seeing the mayor out there doing his little shoot around too with, you know, one of the kids.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. That's fun to watch. But, yeah.
It's a good time, and I'd say come out and check it out.
Is there anything else you want to say, or do you want to bring anything up?
No, just thanks for you know, having me on for an interview to the podcast that I just hosted. I really do. The 3-on-3 tournament really is a little passion project of mine. It's a lot of fun, and you know, I'm so glad that the mayor is involved. The city leadership has really been super supportive of community efforts like this, and it just goes to show how great of a city we live in, that not only are they like supportive of this event, but that so many people come from so far away just to play in this tournament. And it gives us a really good opportunity to show off how awesome our city is to people from outside the city. And yeah, I hope people will come out this year and check it out. And if you see a guy holding a microphone being a total cheese ball, that would be me. And slap high fives. And,
yep.
We'll look forward to seeing you there.
I'm sure Mike and I will be there volunteering, but you know, we'll stay in the shadows. So
we're gonna make Mark play CFO with the mayor. That's what's gonna happen this year.
That would be awesome.
Do it. See, well, Bart dunk on the mayor.
I told you guys it would be worth it. This is an excellent event, and I highly recommend you either, you know, sign up or volunteer or just come and watch. So I appreciate you coming and talking to us. Could you tell us one more time how to sign up?
Yep, cityofcf.com/3on3, just the number 3, O-N-3, no dashes or anything. And when you go to that page, there's a button for signing up. It's got all the rules and all the relevant info. And we also have a Facebook page. I can't remember the exact URL for the Facebook page, but if you search for Cuyahoga Falls 3-on-3 basketball tournament, you'll find us. And got our new flyer up there, and we'll be out there August 21st, starting about 11 a.m. If you want to volunteer, you can come out a little earlier than that.
I'm sure we'll have pictures too, so you'll see the pictures on our Facebook page. And yeah, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
As he thrust his manly purple-headed warrior into her luscious love pudding.
What? Wow.